Lesson number 5, Creator and Sustainer. The key verse in this lesson is a very important one. Thou, even thou, Nehemiah prayed, art Lord alone. This is Yahweh. Thou hast made heaven, the heavens of heaven, all the host, the earth with all things that are therein, the sea and all things that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Yahweh is the supreme creator, sustainer, the center of worship and adoration. There is nothing that we are acquainted with that is without a maker. Nothing. You're wearing a suit of clothes or a dress. You're sitting on a chair. You're walking on a carpet. You're driving an automobile. Every part of these items has been designed and made by somebody. Nothing exists of which we are conscious without a designer and a maker. And the maker must find the materials. Yahweh is the one who has made all things. Part number one, faith and creation. Through faith we understand. This is a very important thing. We look out at the macrocosm way beyond. We look at the microcosm inside an atom. And we begin to deduce, how did this come about? How was this designed? Where did the materials come from? Where did the order originate? Who gives power to maintain? And faith comes as we meditate, as we hear the voice of God, either the inaudible, inarticulated speech of creation, or the inspired speech of the Word. As we listen, as we hear, we gain some measure of faith. We look at our camera. It has a lens. It has a shutter. We know that somebody made those two. We look at our eye. It has a lens. It has a lid or shutter. Can't we also know that somebody must have made it? Now, meditation, observation, synthesizing, bring certain conclusions, and these conclusions lead us to have faith that God made us by His power, that He established us by His wisdom, that He sustains us through His energy, and that He has made the heavens and the earth at His discretion. Part number two, the creation process. How did God go about this? As we read in Genesis 1, we see that He is a God of order. He doesn't create grass before He makes soil on which that grass can grow. He doesn't create a butterfly until He has made a blossom that the butterfly might visit. There is order, there is concern for the well-being of the smallest of His creatures. He anticipates their every need. There is terrestrial engineering. He clothes the soil so it will not be eroded. There is control. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a place. There is material before He makes man. There is personal involvement, as with His own fingers He carries out the work of creation. So as we analyze these texts, we discover the wonder of God as the creator and sustainer of the universe. Now, in what sense does the Word of God used the term bara in Genesis 1, which we believe means that he made something out of nothing. How could he say that he created man and use the word bara? Because the total process of creation is one. We do not separate what he did until the heavens and the earth were finished and God rested. So in order to do everything he did there, he made it out of nothing. And so I understand this word is a beautiful, forceful word, just as Ellen White says, indicating that God made the world without dependence on pre-existing matter. Part number 3, the creation of man, section number 1. Here we're dealing with his physiology and anatomy. God said, "Let us make man in our image, our likeness." And then in chapter 2, we are told what God did about it and how he went about doing it. The story is enlarged in chapter 2 compared with the story in chapter 1. In chapter 1, the whole week's work is given. In chapter 2, man's part and story is taken up and enlarged. God took the elements of the earth, just a few ounces of those elements. Very few. When you realize how little weight and little space human ash occupies, you realize how little material God used. Then he fashioned this with his fingers. He was the first sculptor. He fashioned man, perfect in every detail, enclosed within it every organ, every system, every vein, every nerve, every muscle, every bone. Then personally, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. This is a sharing. This is an injecting within man of the power of the life of God. And thus, man began to live. The divine activity, the divine life, is what made the almost useless dust a thing of great value. It is what God put into man, not what the clay had intrinsically, that is that which God loves and values. The process of creation is also revealing. There was a time when man was complete except for life. He lacked a certain element, and God gave him that element. Without that element, he was not a man. With that element, he became a living being. And this truth we should never forget. Apart from God, we are useless. Part number 4 continues this thought of the creation of man, deals with his psychology and his sociology. Bring my sons from afar, a vertical relationship, God and his people. Call by my name, we are part of the family, heaven and earth. Whom I have created. Here again is bara, he made man. This is some act, a unique order of creation, none existing before like it. Bring the sons and daughters, called by my name, from every part, for I have created for my glory all the beings that I have made. This we must bear in mind. Ephesians 1, 5 and 6, and these children of the Heavenly Father part of his divine family? They are predestined to fulfill his will. They have wandered away. They have adopted another father. And so he has predestinated them to be readopted into his own family through his beloved, that there might be praise and glory to God. And we know from the prophetic statements that when God's purposes are carried out, the universe will join in praising and glorifying the Creator. Part number 5. God is the sustainer. He is before all things, and by him all things hang together. They cohere. They hold their relationships. So not only did he make man, did he desire that they should be member of his family, but that they should be brothers and sisters and socialize together as part of a great entity, but he wants to keep this relationship. He wants it to hang together. It's not a temporary order of things. It is one that should be maintained unbroken. He gave breath to all. In him all man lives and moves and have their being. All man are his offspring. He gives life and breath and everything to them. So whether I am black or yellow, red or white, we're all children in his sight. One father, and he wishes us to sustain in this brotherhood, sisterhood, familyhood, one unified whole. Part number 6. How can this ideal be realized? God is the re-creator. Now I know the thrust of this verse looks to the new heavens and the new earth. But God's ideals have been smashed. Men do not consider themselves as brothers of mankind. They separate themselves with language barriers, the color of their skin barriers, their government barriers. In many different ways, they separate. But God is ready to recreate his original society. Through the new birth, he is ready to make all men brothers and sisters. By inviting all men to accept him as their father, he wishes to make all men one family. It doesn't matter that they speak different languages. He can speak to them. They are one. It doesn't matter that they have racial, cultural differences. He wishes his grace to bridge all these gaping gaps that separate mankind. He is ready to recreate in us, in our family, in our church, in our society, in our world. He is ready to recreate what he originally designed. Now the scripture prophecy looks beyond this, to the new heavens and the new earth. And God knows that while this invitation goes out in every age, there are individuals in every age who reject. But there are also individuals in every age who accept. And this is where he works. He writes them in his book. They are members of his society. They are his beloved. They are his jewels. And one day he is coming again to gather out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, his sons and daughters. They're all going to be one. They will be in one place. They will be together. Till that time, he lets mankind fall asleep in death. They obtain a good report through faith. They have finished the course. They can die. But he waits. He watches. And one day he will call. And on that day, his whole family in heaven and earth will be one, reunited. The whole environment, new heavens and new earth. and the relationship wherein dwelleth righteousness forever. And the purposes of God, the Creator and the Sustainer, will be realized.